we have an update on the man from last week who there was a drunk driving call and they were hanging out in the convenience store parking lot and a cop showed up and sort of walked towards the car. So this man in his infinite wisdom decided to drive directly at the police officer who then jumped onto the hood of the car. They drove for 220 meters. The police officer took his gun and said, "Stop the car or I will shoot you in the face." They stopped the car and they ran away. Cop did not shoot them. So this is, again, a very distinct point between Japanese policing methodology. Policing? Japanese policing methodology. Japanese policing methodology and other comparative countries, where I'm sure that person, by getting up and running away, would be dead now. Person in the passenger seat, they turned themselves in. The guy who was driving did not turn himself in. He was caught this week. They didn't say if it was a manhunt or anything or if he turned himself in. So I'm assuming they just tracked him down. He has now been arrested for attempted murder and obstruction of duties. We used to have the obstruction of business ding because there was a massive trend of that. I got on it a little late when I was doing the stories, but now it seems to have gone away. I'm wondering if it's been reclassified because we're getting a lot of obstruction of duties. So does that deserve its own bell of recognition? Or do we combine the two? Because it is still obstruction. But I feel like obstruction of official police duties and obstruction of a business are two different things. So I think we're just going to leave it exactly the way it is. Pretty reasonable. This is the week before my winter vacation. And I am basically saying there will be no podcasts during the winter vacation. So 2 weeks to get me back on track. There is a famous street in Osaka. It's famous for its ladies of the night standing around soliciting, waiting for the man who will pretty woman them into a different life. I don't know what's going on there. It's problematic for the city because it gives a bad image for the city. So they're like, we have to solve this problem. So in all their civic wisdom, the city decided, let's do the one thing that will discourage prostitution. We will paint the street yellow with pictures of fish on it. That stops prostitution. Yellow streets with fish? Ew, I don't want to have sex with that. Unless you have a SpongeBob fetish, then very much this is the street you want to go to. The claim by the city was that yellow plus aquarium-inspired illustrations will create a psychological barrier. Again, except to those SpongeBob fetishists who are like, the barrier is down now. Finally, I am free. I don't actually know what SpongeBob sounds like. I've never watched the show. Authorities said that solicitation has nearly disappeared since the change. Now, my immediate thought, that was almost a week ago I read this story when it came out, when they painted the streets yellow. I was like, well, it's not gone. You've just moved it. You've displaced it. You've just changed where it's actually happening. Yesterday, as I was doing my notes for this story today, women were seen gathering on nearby streets. So they didn't even move it that far away. It's like, we're going to paint this street yellow. The women working on that street are going to move one to two streets away. And that's it. Problem solved. A quote by city officials, if they have moved to adjacent streets, we will work with communities to address the issue. So what they're saying is, can we afford to paint all the streets yellow? And then what you've actually done is now they're like, well, we're just going to stand on the original street because now they're all yellow. So there's no more psychological barrier. This is a very common issue with how they deal with this kind of thing in Japan is they actually like, they don't stop it. They don't deal with the actual issues. They just push it away. And then they push it away and they're like, hey, I'm surprised it popped up somewhere else. Who would have thunk it? This week we had the first arrest for the drunk driving on a bicycle law. Came into effect at the end of November. December 4th, a man rode into a taxi stand. So a taxi stand is where taxis wait for customers. So you might have three or four taxis actually lined up. You find them at most stations, kind of like busy places. They'll have a place for taxis to sit and wait for customers to just get in, roll off. Next taxi rolls up and sits there. So guy drunk on a bicycle, he rolls into, I assume the actual taxi sitting at the taxi stand. And then he attempts to flee. Unsuccessfully because the taxi driver restrained him, caught him and called the police. When he did a breathalyzer, he was 7 times over the legal limit. He said, I drank 4 or 5 cans of Chuhai. Chuhai, I think, is a little stronger than beer. And he had 4 or 5, but he was 7 times over the legal limit. He either drank them all in once, like he put them all in a bucket and just chugged that whole thing. Or, I'm going to go ahead and say this, he might be lying. How much would you lend someone? That's a very viable question. It's a good question. How much would you lend to someone else? I have lent people, I think the max is 5,000 yen. I've paid for some lunches and stuff, and they paid me back, or maybe they didn't, whatever. I've never lent people enough money that I'm not sort of willing to lose, which I think is a pretty winning strategy. They say that about stocks and investments and certainly crypto, stuff like that. Like, don't invest money that you're not willing to lose, because there's a very good chance you will. But lending money is pretty straightforward. You lend people money, you get it back, or you don't. And you can't really hold a grudge. You lend someone some money and they don't pay it back, you don't lend them more money. Okay. So let's take that as our base philosophy on lending from now on. An Aichi Civic employee borrowed 58 million yen from people around him, mostly subordinates and acquaintances. So people who worked for him, he borrowed money from them. People he sort of knew, he borrowed money from them. He racked up 58 million yen. So 4 to 5 million yen is the average annual salary of a person in Japan. 58 million, 11, 12 years worth of the average salary for a person. He just had borrowed from other people, didn't pay any of it back, and died. So I'm wondering if that was his plan. It sounds like he was just like one of these people who's a serial borrower who never pays it back. He didn't like plan to die, says like part of his scheme, as in I'll borrow all this money, die, and then not have to pay it back. But the sum of money is so large, there's actually people making complaints to the government, especially the subordinates who worked for him, who are like, I lent this guy a lot of money. He worked for the government. It felt really uncomfortable, but I felt it was really hard on me, because how am I supposed to say no to my boss who I lent money to? And then it's really uncomfortable for me to go and ask him to pay it back. You might be like, well, that's dumb. You should stand up for yourself. We're talking about Japanese people in Japan. You have to use Japanese sensibilities. It's a very difficult situation to be in. I actually would not wish this on any Japanese person, to have to be in a situation where they would have to ask their boss for money back that they borrowed from them. One employee said, I lent him over 1 million yen. Now, I can't believe he lent him 1 million yen in one go. Like, I really struggle to believe that. Like, over the course of however many years, how many yen did they lend him, and like what sums? I would like to know the sums. So again, I don't think I've ever lent anyone anything over 10,000 yen, which would be like $100. Its current exchange rate, probably 70 bucks. I don't think I've ever lent anyone more than that, because the most is like, we've gone out for dinner, my friend, I don't have enough money. I'm like, I'll get it this time. Don't worry, you can get it next time, whatever. It would take forever to rack up 1 million yen that way. So how much was he borrowing? What kind of things was he saying? This is all the stuff that I really wanted to know. I looked for a couple more articles. It was really hard to find. Another employee said, I feel stupid lending it to him, which I'm sad to say you should. I feel a lot for the victims in this case, because you basically just got scammed by someone who you were officially, in a weird way, in a relationship with, who you were almost forced to trust. It's a very weird scheme if he was scheming. I do have, part of my brain goes, he didn't scheme, he didn't plan it this way. He just was one of those people who just borrows, and never thinks about paying it back. That's being very generous, though. This may have actually just been a scheme of how he pays for everything. His final bonus and salary are going to be used to pay back some of the debt. So employees, acquaintances and stuff who all have this complaint, like, this guy borrowed money from us, tons of money, and then he went off and we're going to get some of that money back.
It's even worse. 10,000 yen is $65. Yeah, incompetence answers many questions.
Oh, my camera just went out of focus because I'm so poor. It's got autofocus. I wish I could kind of dial it in a little bit and tell it where my face is. Or maybe I'm so white it's just blown out. Yeah, no, I think... I don't want to spend
money. Do we need to lend you money to buy a new camera?
Dude, I would love if you lent, not lend, okay, yes, lend me money for a new camera. And then I will honestly die as quickly as possible, so not have to pay it back. I'm one of those weird people, not weird, I'm one of those people who like obsessively pays back money. I would lend people money, small amounts of money, and not expect to get it back, so I don't stress about it, but...
Guaranteed you have a cheap Logitech camera. And you can manually adjust.
Jay, that hurt, man. What is it called? It is a Logitech. It is the one they kind of recommended when it came out. The CR something. Turn off my heater. It's something real hot in here.
C502.
I did not. Oh, fuck off. I think that's it. I think it's the C502. It's the C something. Oh, man. Just got like torn up on my own show. Should I? This camera's fine. It's a good camera. Fuck. I wanted to. I never intended to go on camera. And so that's the thing. So I was thinking, I think everyone has one. I think if you did streaming, if you started streaming 2 years ago, this was the camera to get. I think that's actually probably true. I probably looked it up, looked for a bunch of reviews. No, I'm just going to get a new camera. You fucking tore me up just now. My Christmas present to myself is going to be like $1,000 Sony camera that I never learned how to use properly. And then it still will be out of focus because I don't know how to focus this shit. And they'll be like, no, you got to twist the front. They do have fucking some of the nice 4K cameras and people stream with those and it looks amazing, but I don't think for this setting and this face, we need anything more than 8 pixels. I think that's more than enough 8 pixels. We don't need to go any farther than that. Okay. I didn't get to that. So I don't know how much of that's going to make it into the episode. That's gonna be a lot of cutting. A slight diversion when we talk to the Logitech camera conversation. His final bonus and salary were used to pay back some of the debt. So remember, he borrowed 58 million yen. His final salary and bonus, 2.3 million yen. His final bonus and salary were used to pay was 2.3 million yen of the 58 million yen, which is barely anything. A couple of subordinates said, it's difficult to refuse because he was my boss, which I think is awful. I think it's a terrible situation. He's clearly a bad person. I don't know, man. We don't have enough context for what kind of person he was when he was alive to know if we should be able to make fun of him when he's dead. He may have just been kind of doofy, which almost is like an appealing quality, but the degree seems malicious. The Tokyo Metropolitan Government proposes a 4-day work week to combat the population decline in Japan for government employees starting April 2025. This is not a bad idea. I am already predicting issues.
4-day work week. Fifth day is federally mandated.
I'm already predicting issues because of the Japanese work life culture that's been created puts them in a weird spot. Because if you do a 4-day work week, but you have to make up that lost time, which is a way a lot of sort of Japanese business people think, and they may be in the government, they're still kind of business people, they're still trying to run it. A lot of our like bullying and professional harassment and all those kind of things, that all comes from the government. If they have that extra pressure, if they have those, as the show just said, 18-hour work days, that extra day off suddenly is nullified. It doesn't mean anything anymore. They want people to take time, spend time with their family. They're trying to relax it. I actually agree with this, but I think I proposed a long time ago, 5-day work week is fine, but end your day after X amount of hours. So if you work from 9, you end up 4 or 5 o'clock. So you do an 8-hour workday and then you're finished and you have to leave.
I used to do 2 doubles and a single.
If that's your choice.
To get 4 days off in a row.
If that's your choice, I 100% agree with it. But I think maybe part of the issue is they're not giving people a choice. They're just trying to make things and mandate them and make them happen. And this is where every one of these plans fails, is you can't mandate people to spend time and enjoy time with their family and feel loving and actually then produce babies. But so because they're going to make it happen and they're struggling with the Japanese work culture, that's going to be one of the issues they run into regularly. It is a solid start. Yeah. So my first point was longer hours to make up for the time. And then there is the pressure. But they've done studies and shown that people only work for about 4 or 5 hours a day anyways. Like 6 is sort of the upper maximum of what a human being can actually do and actually be productive. Now, is the 4-day work week mandatory has been set yet? So they do have Seishin, which is lifetime employees at companies in Japan. And they have the same thing for the government. So you become like a lifetime employee of the government. And they get very, very generous holiday packages. You get like 40, 50, 60 days off a year. You can take them whenever you want, but don't take any of them. They actually will say, and this is illegal, but companies do this all the time, we're going to give you 20 to 30 days off this year, but we don't want you to take any of them. And they don't necessarily pay them out. So that's just... it's to say you give this benefit, but then they don't actually give the benefit. And if you actually start using that benefit, then you sort of, it gets looked down upon. It sort of people in the company, like you won't be able to progress up the company. It will be shunned for actually taking advantage of the package you've been given and the benefits that are included in it. And I'm worried that this government program will suffer from something similar. Like, hey, yeah, you have 4-day work weeks every week, but we do expect you to be here every Friday. And there's no question, you actually should be here every Friday. And will it negatively impact the benefits and advancements of the people who are there? So if I take my 4-day work week every week and then someone else who works with me doesn't, they move up the ladder and I don't, is that going to negatively impact me? Is that going to negatively impact my evaluations, that kind of thing? It could impact my career path if I actually do the thing I'm supposed to do, if someone else isn't doing the thing they're supposed to do, but they're using that to get ahead. So that's kind of the issues. And again, I'm thinking in the Japanese work mentality where this is a really important thing to have to be able to, a very important thing to do, to be able to do, to fulfill. I've lost some words there. A 77-year-old man was arrested for attempted murder. This is neat. It's neat in that he was arrested for attempted murder, but not of a specific person. What happened is he was in his apartment on the 8th floor, and he opens his window, and he just takes his TV, throws it out the window. Then he takes an air humidifier, throws it out the window. Then he takes another TV, and he throws it out the window. And then he takes another air humidifier, and he throws it out the window. He throws two TVs and two air purifiers out the window onto essentially an unsuspecting crowd underneath. No one was hurt in this. So it was indiscriminate. It was just like taking a gun and kind of shooting it in the air kind of thing. Like if someone gets hit, it's kind of manslaughter, maybe first degree murder, that kind of thing. There's a level of responsibility there for, but there is no actual target. He was just angry and frustrated. It may have been because he had too many TVs and too many air purifiers. I was like, dude, don't throw the TV out the window. Pass me a TV. I'll take an extra TV. Air purifier. I got one in the back. I'll take another one. The Panasonic air purifier, by the way, is a very good product. I recommend it highly for people like me who have lots of air dust allergies. So he was throwing it out his 8-story window at the people below. He actually lives very close to a station. So stations in Japan, they open up. There's like sort of a rush hour. There's going to be a crowd down there. So it's actually very, very lucky that no one got hurt. When he was arrested, he said, I'm frustrated. There's no joy in life. I don't care if I hit a passerby and killed them. My first thought was, play video games. Like, yeah, you're 77. It's going to be a hard start, but you can get some joy out of video games. You could just sit around all day like you're 77, you know. Entertain yourself. Get into Skyrim. Something like that. Like, it's just one of those things where you have so much time and you're doing nothing and just getting into this depth of anger and frustration to the point where you actually throw stuff out the window, hoping to hurt someone else you don't even know. Play video games. Or, I mean, if you've gone that far, just start drinking. Just sit around and be drunk all the time, man. Lots of Japanese dudes do it. Start vaping. I mean, there's a culture there you can get really into. I bet they would love a 77-year-old dude who just starts vaping. If it does damage to your lungs, it's all right. You're 77. The Don Juan of Kyushu. This is a story that was ongoing. He died a few years ago from apparent murder. And the trial has been ongoing of his lover, wife, sugar baby. Because he was 77 and she was 22. A lot of people think this might not have been a true love relationship, that she may have been in this for his cash. You need a little bit of background. So there's a very interesting story because he was born in 1941. He grew up. He got his first job sort of after the post-war period. So this would have been like the 50s, 60s. He went door to door selling condoms. That is a very unusual thing at the time in Japan. Condoms weren't something you could buy easily. So someone coming to your house and selling to them was like this amazing boon. He made tons and tons and tons of money going door to door selling condoms. He expanded that business. He made it bigger and bigger and bigger. He started, I don't know, he grew into several businesses after that. That's kind of what guys do. He claimed he gave over 3 billion yen to over 4,000 different women, but that would imply sexual relationships in almost all of them. So that's why he gets the title of Don Juan. He, after an evening with a model, it appears she stole 60 million yen from him. He said, I had a good time in spite of the robbery. So he wasn't concerned about money. That's how much money he had. Someone stole 60 million yen from him, a life-changing amount of money for me. And he was like, we had a good time, so maybe it was kind of worth it. In 2018, he got married to Sudo Saki, who worked as a cabaret lady and a delivery health. Delivery health is something that our North American listeners may not have heard of. This is when you get sexual services delivered to you, usually at a love hotel. So you go to a love hotel, you meet there, you've negotiated what goes on, some things happen, you pay some money, you disappear. It's not always sex. It's often hands and things and stuff like that. I don't want to get too into it, but delivery health is its own thing in Japan that if maybe we could do another holiday episode explaining all the different sex things in Japan. Because there's a lot of them and they're all really weird. So she was a cabaret girl. Now, cabaret is like a hostess club. It sort of takes it down a notch when you say cabaret a little bit. There is some implied dating, compensated dating. So if you go to this club enough, you become a regular, you give them money, they'll go on dates with you. And maybe you form a relationship. Maybe you form a sexual relationship. Maybe not. The whole point of the hostess system and the host system is to string you along and extract as much money from you as possible. We've talked about that 1,000 times on Ninja News Japan. I don't need to go into it. Just go back and listen 10 episodes ago. You'll hear about it in some form or another. Sudosaki marries this guy, the Don Juan of Kishu. She gets 1 million yen a month for her sexless marriage. So she's not banging the dude. She's not having relations with him. He's paying her 1 million yen every month. Again, previous story, 4 to 5 million yen a year is a really average salary in Japan. So she's making 12 million yen a year doing nothing, just being married to this guy. Not even touching him or satisfying him in any way that is made aware of. May 24th, 2018, the Don Juan of Kishu is found dead. The police suspect Sudo, as you would. Again, I'm on board with really old people and really young people falling in love. I think that is very possible. I don't doubt it can happen. But when one of them is very rich, I don't think age actually matters anymore. When one of them is super rich, I think there's always going to be some suspicion there. So I think the police were kind of taking the same kind of thinking. They're like, he's really old. He's super rich. She's had a rough life. She's married this guy. We think she might be involved. Stimulants were found in his system, but they couldn't figure out where they came from or how they got to him. So he didn't have any like needle marks. He wasn't doing any drugs. They think it was maybe amphetamines. It was a little difficult to tell. They don't know how it got into his body, but it seems like that killed him. That's what gave him a heart attack or what's caused him some kind of problems was these amphetamines or stimulants he was on. They then arrested her. They arrested Sudo. And they arrested Sudo, but the problem is they didn't really have any evidence. So this is kind of one of the issues that comes up. Like, you need to have evidence to arrest him, but there was so much pressure for the police to do something and make an arrest. They're like, well, she's the most obvious culprit. She's our number one suspect. Let's arrest her and then hope we figure it out. Japan famously has like a 99% conviction rate if it goes to court. It has that because prosecutors only go to court if they know they're going to win the case. So quite often, all the ones you don't hear about is the guy kept his mouth shut, so the police just let him go because the prosecutors are like, well, he's not going to say anything. We can't nail him. If we can't nail him, we don't want to take it to court because we want to keep our 99% conviction rate. So it's not a 99% conviction rate. It's like if they don't have enough evidence, they just drop the case. So if we took all the dropped cases and put that together with all the conviction rate, I bet you would get a more normalized version of what an actual rate of conviction is. But it does put you in the sort of mindset, if you know this, don't talk to the police, don't give the police any information, do not help the police because they are going to do, if you start going to court, you've already lost. But there's a lot of pressure, so they arrest her. The most damning thing they found was her search history because her search history had amphetamine death, perfect crime, which is a bit on the nose if I'm being honest, and inheritance. So she was searching how much amphetamines do I give someone to kill them? What is a perfect crime or how do I do the perfect crime? How do I get away with a crime? And can I commit a crime and get all the money? Which does create sort of like a picture-perfect version of what a criminal would want to do, but there's no evidence that she took that information from the computer that she learned and actually employed it in real life. It seemed like the Don Juan of Kishu was going to divorce Sudo because he had discovered she had been in a couple of AV videos, porn videos. It also came out that the Don Juan of Kishu had asked her to get him drugs. But she went out to try to get drugs, but she got scammed and she got just like icing, like icing sugar, something like that. So she basically got scammed. She got sugar crystals instead of actual drugs. So when she brought it back and the guy tried to actually do it, he got really angry because she couldn't even buy him drugs. But it does show that he was trying to get the drugs anyway. So maybe he just got drugs himself and then actually killed himself. So he was doing amphetamines, did the amphetamines, and then died. And maybe she had nothing to do with it because she wasn't even capable of getting the drugs when he asked her to get the drugs. On May 6th, the Don Juan's dog died. And so what they're saying, this is a couple of days before he died. This is the 6th, he died on the 24th. So on the 6th, his dog died. And everyone was saying that after his dog died, he grew strange. So he kind of lost it a little bit. He's 77 years old. He probably loved his dog a lot, much like I love my dog, Dave. Little asshole sleeping in the corner. They're saying that this maybe really important element of his life was taken away. This dog that he loved died and his mind snapped. He's changed. They're not saying he was crazy. They're not saying he turned mean or evil or he got like vindictive or anything, but he was different from before. The problem is prosecutors hadn't produced any actual evidence other than the theories. So they're like, we got the search. We got the search history. We have that she was really young and he was really old. We have that he was rich and she wasn't rich. I mean, of course, she must have murdered him, but that isn't actually proof. Those are only theories that you have to prove in court. The judge literally said, I think she killed him too, but I have to be a judge and the judge has to go on actual things you've proven. You haven't actually proven anything. That's reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt remains. She has been acquitted. So that 99% stays at 99 and does not go to 100 because of the very few cases like this where there's so much pressure. They move too quickly. They don't gather the evidence. They don't go through the steps and you end up with someone getting off. So what happens to the money? Because that is going to be the thing. It's going to be like 1.5 billion yen this guy still has. Who's going to get that money? The city he lives in is claiming the money based on the fact of a handwritten will that was found. So they're saying the 1.5 billion yen is not going to go to anyone in his family, not going to go to Sudo. It's going to go to him. It's going to go to the city because someone wrote a note. We assume it was supposed to be him. I was like, man, is that all it takes is a handwritten note? I could write a handwritten note right now. I'm like, hey, I'm Don Juan, Ninja News Japan, my favorite podcast. I want them to have at least 1 billion yen. You guys can keep the 0.5. The Don Juan's brothers are contesting it, saying that it's a fake note, that this note is not going, wasn't written by the Don Juan. It shouldn't go to the city. So the question is, does Sudo get any money? She was his wife. So she's making claims. There is a whole other problem, though. She's still going to jail. She's going to jail for scamming a different man out of 29.8 million yen, and she's going to get 3 years and 6 months. So while all this contesting that will is going on, she cannot be involved because she's actually going to be in prison for scamming a different guy, which actually lends a little more credence to the idea that she may have killed him for the money. What do we learn from this? That real life is messy. And I do actually want to give credit to the judge because the judge was literally like saying, look, I don't believe this girl is innocent, but you guys haven't done your job. You guys haven't proved anything. So she gets to go on her way, which on her way being the court next door where she has to get sentenced for another 3 years to go to prison for scamming some other dude. This is the week before the winter vacation for my company, so I will be taking 2 weeks off. I will not be podcasting. If I do end up with time or stories or the wherewithal or I wake up, get out of bed actually, I might make an episode, but I just don't want to promise this. For the next 2 weeks, there's probably no episodes. If I do drop something, it's going to be like a little bonus thing, something else. I don't know. No, I don't want to say it like that either. One more time. This is the week before the winter vacation in Japan, so I'll be taking the 2 weeks off. I will not be releasing any podcasts. So over the next 2 weeks, I haven't forgotten about you. I miss you just as much as you miss me. Our love is still strong and going forward. I'm just taking a break because it's a holiday and I think I actually should take breaks. It avoids burnout. C. McBee has not gone dead, but it has certainly gone into hibernation for the moment because I have hit a level of writer's block because I'm working on too many projects. So C. McBee is in dormant. Ninja News Japan, it being based on the news, feeds itself, which is great. But I do need time to organize things, get my life together. I'm thinking about 2025. Do I want to make any changes to the show? I certainly have aspirations, things I would like to improve. So hopefully we can get some things like that happening. I'd like more quizzes, I'd like more quizzes. I would like more guests. I would like more conversations to happen. But the problem living in this time zone and most of the listeners being in other time zones, it's very hard to line people up. I don't want to, that's all promises I don't want to make or keep. My room just got really hot. This is the week before the winter vacation in Japan, so I will not be releasing any episodes for at least the next 2 weeks. I haven't forgotten about you, just like you haven't forgotten about me. Our love is still strong. That's all I really want you to know. I'm just taking a break. We're thinking forward into 2025. What's going to happen to the podcast? Are there any places I can make improvements? Oh, things are dinging, I think. All right, let me mute Discord for fuck's sake. How do they do it when I start podcasting? I've had no alerts all morning. Okay, anyways. Maybe that's it. Maybe my first, what do they call it? Resolution. Jesus, I forgot the word. My first resolution for 2025 is remember to turn off the Discord notifications. I can't blame them. They're being nice and friendly and sending messages, but I'm like, I'm recording now. I should actually, I got to do my own. I fucked everything up. Because my own Discord is going to alert when I go live, so. Let's stop that too. All right. Where am I? This is a mess. One more time. What? 6 minutes, and I've only done like a fraction of an update. This is the week before the. Fuck you. This is a week before the winter vacation in Japan. I will be taking a 2 week break. I have not forgotten you. I still love you. Our love is still strong. I will be back. I can't promise that either. I could die. God damn, I don't want to do that. Something's wrong with me. I'm going to cut this all together into like something. See how many times I got it right. Anyways, 2 weeks. See you. Unless you're a SpongeBob fanatic, weirdo. Unless you have a SpongeBob fetish.